I'd like to keep going. We've got a couple of minutes here, so we're going to keep moving on to number 13. We'll take a look at the 2022-23 snowmobile season recap. Ryan Raynor is with us, joining virtually the district park supervisor. Ryan, can you hear us?
Yes, I can, if you can hear me.
We can, and we can see you. Thanks for being with us. Go ahead and begin when you're ready.
Wonderful. Chris will pull up another PowerPoint presentation. I certainly understand, not even being in the room, reading the room, that the subject of snuff right now is, we're all done with it and fed up with it. So I will keep this short and to the point, and certainly answer any questions that you folks have. But as he's pulling up the screen, I can start going over some of the topics there. I do want to talk about the program summary here real quick. We have a $1.3 million budget. We're able to leverage some of those funds with the RTP program. We usually get between about $150,000 to $250,000, which is usually to purchase grooming equipment. We'll see pictures of that equipment here later. As of July 1st, of course, at the beginning of the fiscal year, we had a $916,000 trails fund balance. We do expect, of course, with the number of grooming rotations that we had, that number will go down, but still be in a good position once we get, of course, June 30th at the end of our fiscal year. Three main sources of revenue here, of course, $10 resident snowmobile license, probably one of the lower resident licenses in the country. It's been that way since the inception of the snowmobile program in the 70s. So really something that the program and the department can be proud of. 3% excise tax, so you purchase a newer used snowmobile, that excise tax goes directly into the snowmobile trails fund. And then, of course, like the boat, our boat tax, we have a gas tax as well that goes in the snowmobile program. Usually ends up being about 35 to 45% of our total revenue for the year. One of the most important parts of this program is by far meeting quarterly with the governor-appointed Snowmobile Advisory Council. Got a meeting coming up here in May, which really is a review similar to this, with obviously a little bit more information about how that season went, expenses up to that point, and so forth. So definitely vital to the program's operation. It's wonderful to get the buy-in from the user groups themselves, get their support and get their comments too about the budget, about trail reroutes and so forth. So and then, of course, the State Association Board. So we meet pretty much at the same time, same meetings quarterly. They are the voice for snowmobiling in the state of South Dakota. And fortunately for snowmobilers across the country, those folks are very well connected at the national level and really do voice their concerns when, snowmobiling on public property is maybe in question. So, Chris, go ahead. Next slide. So there at the top left, you see a picture of from a tourism shoot a few years back. That is from a few years back in Spearfish Canyon. And then, of course, the picture on your right-hand side is actually from Aberdeen from this year. So a little bit about how we operate on each side of the state. So in the Black Hills, program is managed by about 6 full-time staff, 18 seasonal staff out of the lead office. And when I say full-time staff, that 6 is kind of the parks division. Of course, we've got major support from our CEOs that work in that area. Can probably almost double that. So about 12 full-time staff and 18 seasonals do take care of the operations in the hills. Basic grooming operations is out of Hardy Camp. Some of you were maybe able to visit Hardy Camp a few years ago when we did an on-site visit. Beautiful location. We work 7 snowcats over the 350-mile trail system in the Black Hills. So 6 of those are located out of Party Camp, and then we keep 1 of those out of that Black Hills Trails office located in Lead as well. 3 different shifts, so this is important. The Black Hills is known for a couple of different things, obviously, but maintain trails is definitely one of them across the country. And it's because of these grooming shifts that we're able to maintain those 350 miles. So 3 different shifts include basically going out of a midweek shift, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's a longer shift. They're going to get about 12 hours in per groomer. That's one shift that goes out. And then on the weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if snow conditions allow, which of course they did this year, we have 2 different shifts that go out. So we have a shift that goes out from about 3:30 till about midnight, 12:30. And then we have a shift change. And then we have that basically 12:30, 1 o'clock till about 9:30, 10 o'clock the next morning. So because of that, because of the grooming into the evening, you know, all night. And of course, as you know, folks are using the trails throughout the day. It literally is a 24/7 operation, which is maybe unique. So it's definitely provides some challenges, but you definitely got folks committed and dedicated, even with those evening shifts, that second shift on the weekend, to make sure we get all those trails groomed and safe for the very next day. So it's the Black Hills and the eastern side of the state. You've heard me talk about it before, the clubs. I oversee a grant and aid program. With that grant and aid program, 14 clubs groom, sign, and maintain just under 1,000 miles of trails. Reimbursed for various categories. Examples would be putting signs in, taking signs out here in the spring, that we have a DOT deadline, a right-of-way agreement by the end of the month here. Of course, for the eastern side of the state, as many of you know, that's going to be a challenge. And by the time the snow melts, they're probably going to be putting waders on to get some of those signs out. So our club's got a tall task yet ahead of them, obviously, even though the season's been over since the end of March. So I can't say enough about our groomer operators on the eastern side of the state. They do a fantastic job. It really is a volunteer-based program. And certainly this year was definitely a challenge. So go ahead, Chris, the next slide. So a little bit specifically about those seasons. So, you know, a fantastic year for snowmobilers, right? If you're a snowmobiler, it was one for the record books for sure because of our great snow conditions. But great and deep snow conditions do cause issues from an operational standpoint, a grooming standpoint. And the two pictures here are a prime example of that. This is actually located in Miller. Your picture on your right, where you can see the blue drag on the back, that actually was taken on the same day when they got stuck. That was their first time getting stuck, as the picture on the left, where about 3 miles away from getting stuck the first time. That's the second picture where they got stuck again within that 4 mile stretch. So what happened in Miller was basically, you know, they established a trail, obviously early December, snow continued to add to it. But once you have that trail base, you have the ability to stay on that trail, and as long as you don't get off that trail base, it's compacted over the different grooming rotations, and you're able to stay up. But in Miller, we had a little warm up there about February. Then, of course, we started adding snow again. And this was the result. I think people assume these big orange machines, if they see them, they're can go anywhere. They can definitely go places that other vehicles can't, but they're still susceptible to getting stuck, as you can see. So these two pictures really do, from a grooming operation standpoint, really represent the difficult tasks that are, you know, obviously out in the hills as well, but certainly that our volunteers, our groomer operators, our clubs had to deal with this season. But so again, I think those two bullet points pretty much sum it up. Fantastic year for snowmobilers and a challenge for our operations. Go ahead, Chris. And now for the Black Hills. So that picture on the left was taken pretty much after the first snowstorm in December. You can see the number of feet you can see out of that groomer. That groomer is the one located at our Black Hills Trails office in Lead. Then the picture on the right was taken, I think, in about February. And you can kind of see a smaller herd of elk that was crossing the trail at the time. That's why the gentleman, our groomer operator, took the picture. So grooming started in the Black Hills December 15th, ended March 27th, which is rare. Normally, you know, there's a science to grooming snow. And so when you get into March, when temperatures start to rise, even though there's snow on the ground, that snow gets to be really tough to groom. So it is very odd that we were able to groom that late. Season goes from December 15th to March 31st. So we pretty much were grooming out there from start of the season to the end. System counters example, we have about, I think, 12 to 15 traffic counters out there in the Black Hills. And you can see the comparison compared to last year, compared to the number of clicks that those traffic counters saw at 116,515. So last few years were slower for snow conditions out there. So folks really took advantage of the great snow conditions in the hills. You know, I'm sure some of you heard in the news, GFMP staff, full-time and seasonal. So Parks Division, Wildlife Division, our CEOs, everybody kind of played in hand. Seasonal operators played a hand in throughout these rescues. So fortunately, we were able to find everybody. I'm sure some of you have seen the, you know, some of those cases on the news. But again, just always a team effort when folks get in those situations. Top priority to get them out of it. So another example, the great season out there, Trailside Vendor at Spearfish Canyon saw a record number of rentals. So that's a huge positive for the local trailside business, obviously. And then just a quick snippet of our groomer numbers, which are definitely above average. So out of the seven groomers, we groomed over 40,000 miles. And out of those same seven groomers, we had just under 6,000 hours of grooming. So, you know, next slide, Chris. But at the end of the day, we had, again, great year for snowmobilers. But there's years like this do provide challenges for our groomer operators. The staff out in the Black Hills did a fantastic job. You can see one of those, that's Ryan. He's almost as big as the groomer is. He's our new equipment tech. He does a great job keeping up with the equipment, servicing it, and making sure it's ready to roll for the very next shift to go out. And of course, on the eastern side of the state, you got a dedicated group of volunteers, folks that have been doing this for a long time, you know, willing to go out. And they've got their 8-to-5 job. They attend their kids' sporting events, you know, and then they go groom. So you're talking about dedicated groups of folks that make sure the trails are safe for a snowmobiler. So with that being said, I'd entertain any questions.
Any questions for Ryan? Comments? It was a good year, Ryan. I was able to get out and ride in the Black Hills. You guys do a good job. One question for you on these groomers. What's their lifespan? How long do they typically last?
Madam Chair, wonderful question. So we actually have a rotation, which we think works really well for the program, both in the Black Hills and out east. So we actually buy one groomer a year, a fiscal year. That groomer goes directly to the Black Hills. Because of the seven groomers that we have out there, those groomers are used for 7 years. And they put on, I would say on average, again, it depends on the snow year throughout those 7 years, anywhere from about 5,000 to 6,000 hours. They average about 1,000 hours a year. And then in that ballpark of about 30,000 to 40,000 miles. So after year seven, they get rotated, serviced as well as we can service them. They get rotated to the clubs on the eastern side of the state. On the eastern side of the state, we have 11 state-owned groomers and 3 privately owned groomers. Clubs have an option to purchase their own groomer, usually through the RTP program. And so when you add that 11 years with 11 clubs East River, the 7 that we have in the Black Hills, they're around the program for, you know, almost 20 years there. So.
Very good. Any other comments for Ryan? Excellent work. Thank you for the update, Ryan. Good job. Keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that will take us a little bit past 5 o'clock. Thank you all for your patience. We're going to move the rest of the agenda to tomorrow. So for now, we will be in recess. We'll see you tomorrow, 8 a.m. Thanks.